Hello and welcome again to another Modern Commerce Talk. I'm your host, Jack Stratton from Insider Trends. And I'm delighted to be joined today by Tobias Bergstrom, a commerce advisor at Aventia and a regular colleague of mine, someone who I always enjoy talking to on the kind of subjects we're going to be discussing today. So Tobias, I'm interested in talking, this is really an organizational talk, but specifically on the idea of an e-commerce organization. We've discussed this a little bit before, and this idea of where do you put the e-commerce team, where do you put the e-commerce department in this kind of rapidly evolving digital age where e-commerce underpins so much of what happens for any kind of retailer or B2B business. I guess the big question for me is, how do you structure an e-commerce organization? Where does the e-commerce team best sit? And as a strategist, you know, how do you approach that challenge?
I think this is a question that many companies struggle with, because there is no perfect standard answer for every company. So what we often see is, you either put it in IT, you put it in marketing, you put it in sales, or you put it in a specific digital e-commerce kind of function that sits on the side. So I think there are pros and cons with all these placements of the e-commerce organization. And it really boils down to your history, your culture, your organizational setup. But if you allow me to be a bit blunt and black and white for a second, I think if you put the e-commerce function in IT, you do risk having a more functional focus, or rather fix the problems focus, right? Rather than having a revenue focus or a margin focus. But it can be great to have the function in IT if you want the problem solved quickly and smoothly and sustainably. The other way is to put it in marketing. And a lot of the e-commerce functions do sit in marketing. Of course, the potential drawback with that is that perhaps you become too focused on the branding and the long-term view of things rather than the revenue. On the other hand, you will for sure get a lot of attention attracting new customers. You will get focus on the content. Then you have putting it in sales. You could argue that it makes a lot of sense putting a sales function like the e-commerce function in sales, right? The potential drawback can be that you perhaps get too much of a next month transactional kind of focus rather than the long-term view. And in some cases I've seen having that digital skills and capabilities, they simply don't sit in sales in a traditional company. So you get a lot of gaps competence-wise. And then the fourth way is to organize it in a separate function, often reporting directly to the CEO or stuff like that. And I think the beauty of it is that you can attract all the different kind of skills and competencies and experiences that is needed. But the drawback can be that it becomes a silo in the organization, a bubble on its own. So I'm not coming with a quick fix here, but I think these are things to actually think about when talking about e-commerce and digital, because often it's situated in a place in the organization that's, it's just for historical reasons. So the drawbacks and the advantages you get is there, and it's time we have that discussion in our companies for real.
Yeah, and this makes me think about a lot of our clients we've talked to together, Tobias, about this this kind of really common issue that, you know, so I'm in the e-commerce team and I'm seeing what's happened around the world and seeing that as a retailer, we're slightly behind the curve. And there's a couple of big things we need to do that might be to do with the platform or just something specific we need to do on our e-commerce platform. And it seems like the most common problem I hear all the time is that they, as that e-commerce team member, I come back into the business with this idea, and my biggest problem is convincing people to say yes, convincing people within my business to say yes, convincing decision makers. How does the sort of the structure issue that you've just talked about relate to that? Is there a positioning of the e-commerce department that makes it easier to convince the C-level?
Yeah, I think so. To be blunt and a bit black and white, I mean, often if you put the e-commerce or digital function in IT and even sometimes in marketing, you're being seen as a support function, right? You're supporting the business. You're not driving the business. So it can be especially for big companies where there is some politics, where you're placed in the organization will have a direct effect on your ability to influence and to move things around. So I think again that's worth noting, and we do see a lot of customers that they've decided to go all in e-commerce, be it B2B, B2C, or direct to consumer. And a quite common way to do it is to organize around a digital department or a chief digital officer, CDO. At least in the beginning, during a transformational journey, for sure.
Yeah, and it makes me think a little bit about, I know this is kind of a cliched way of looking at things sometimes, but it is useful. It makes me think of startups and the fact that within startups, they're agile by design, by nature. They, you know, but the e-commerce team at that point is probably an e-commerce guy, and he maybe has been directly employed by the founder and has that relationship immediately. So when an idea comes to the table, everyone sees the idea straight away. The convincing happens naturally. So when you say about an e-commerce department operating separately, I can see that being really beneficial when it comes to that particular issue. It makes me think of one other thing we've discussed as well, maybe as a final thought that I'm really interested on your point, your kind of perspective on, which is you've mentioned to me before about the possibility of structuring an e-commerce organization almost by customer journey rather than functionality. So mapping the customer journey, and then you map the e-commerce organization almost around different touch points of that journey. I think that's fascinating. So just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really no rocket science. I mean, traditionally, we are used to organizing through skills and competencies and experiences, right? But, I mean, I've been working with several customers that have tried out this concept of actually organizing by customer journey or by phase of the customer journey. And you don't have to do a full mapping in detail about the customer journey. I mean, you know that in order to get that commerce in the end, you need to attract people, right? You acquire new customers or traffic to the website. So I think that's a very specific job. And you can organize around that acquisition of new customers or acquisition of traffic. And you would have people who work with search engine optimization or campaigns or affiliates or whatever. So that's the first phase in that kind of customer journey. And the other phase would be experience or convert, take a pick. So you've actually acquired the customer. Now you want them to actually transact. How do you do that? And that's a lot about conversion optimization. It has a lot to do with user experience, design, lowering the threshold. So that's an area of expertise or area of focus for another team. And then finally, of course, you have the retention part. So you've acquired them, the customers, you've converted them, and you want to make sure that they stick around for a long time, right? So how do you retain them? How do you make sure you maximize the customer lifetime value? Do you have a loyalty scheme you work with? Stuff like that. And I think it really means that if you organized by these principles, these three basic steps in any customer journey, you will have three teams, or how many you know you choose, that share the same focus, that share the same ambition and objective. And I think we will see a lot more of this going forward. But it will mean that we mix a lot of competencies and skills. And of course, it would be perhaps nicer to make sure that all the graphical designers and the UX designers, they sit in the same team. But do we get the efficiency out of that? And do we get the customer focus out of that we want? I don't think so.
No, I think that's really interesting. And it's a big challenge, actually, for, at the very least, for businesses to ask that question. Is it so important that those skills, those designers, whoever they are, sit together that actually we can't even have the discussion about organizing it by customer journey? Because at the same time, every business in the world is constantly saying everything we do needs to be driven by what customers are doing. All the answers are there. And yet actually, if your business isn't shaped around that in the first place, I don't think it's ever really going to get there.
No. And you can put objectives and KPIs on a team to achieve things. And even though it means that the extreme SEO specialists sit in the same team as the influencer marketeer, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so different in terms of experience and skills and such, but the end result they share.
I really like the idea. I think it speaks to me that if you have that specific role in marketing, for instance, and you do one specific thing, you're a copywriter, you're a designer, well, it really adds the potential to just massively hone that one thing. Yeah. Not to mention the possibility of almost competing against those other micro teams. You know, there's some real benefits there. Yeah. Tobias, thank you so much, as always. Love chatting to you about anything. And especially e-commerce stuff. We've got time for this particular Modern Commerce talk. Join us again soon for another, which may well be with Tobias again. So thanks a lot. Take care.
Yes.